People of faith are being urged to continue their prayers for the Bali 2, Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran, who are scheduled to be executed at midnight tonight. There's been a lot of interest in their spiritual journeys as they face the death penalty, with reports of their spiritual advisors, Major David Soper and Pastor Christy Buckingham, being given the roles of spiritual advisor to the two in their last hours. On that note, I was interested to hear what Christian leaders are thinking about the story. And on the line with me now is Simon Smart, a director of the Centre for Public Christianity, and he joins me now. Thanks for your time, Simon.
Oh, hi, Claire. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Firstly, I wanted to ask, what does this outpouring of media interest in this story say to us about the value of life?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the story of these two men has truly captured the nation's media and thereby the public. There's a great interest in it. I think it has the sort of ingredients of a tragic tale. These guys are young, their lives are looking like they're going to be cut terribly short, but especially people have noted the fact that they've been so regenerated, they've turned their lives around, they've made such a positive contribution. I mean, the governor of the prison they were in was one of those appealing for their lives, saying that they'd made such a difference. So I think people are just so horrified by the kind of cold brutality of execution and matching that next to these lives that people really see as having been redeemed in lots of ways. And so it's not surprising that people are so kind of captivated as well as horrified by it.
Do you think the Australian public is learning something through this about the nature of mercy and redemption?
Well, maybe, because lots of people are appealing for that very thing. And they're seeing value in this. I think there's something beautiful in it, that people have recognised that while these guys truly did something that was stupid and ill-advised and potentially very damaging for a lot of people, that they've turned their lives around, they're seeking forgiveness, and I guess people feel that compassion and wanting to offer forgiveness in the way that would, you know, give them back some degree of dignity in their lives, and they're really horrified by the alternative, which is to offer no forgiveness really, and to see this process go through to its very ugly end.
Sadly, we've heard just this afternoon in the media that they've been denied the right to have their pastors with them in the final moments of the execution, and Chan's brother has mentioned that this has commented that this is removing his last piece of dignity of his brother. What do you think the ministers might be experiencing at this time as Christian leaders, from your point of view as a Christian leader yourself?
Well, who knows? I mean, it must be a very, very traumatic time for them. Those people have come quite close to these men. They've been ministering to them for a long time. They've got to know them and, of course, to love them. And so the prospect of, for any of their people close to them, of having them killed in this manner would be traumatic. And then, of course, trying to be strong for them, to offer them comfort and hope, even while yourself feeling traumatised by it. It must be very, very difficult. Got great admiration for people who can do that job well. It's a very important job. The other thing that's been interesting has been the media's very positive reporting of the role of the pastors in this case, and I think that's shown. You know, sometimes we get kind of sneering dismissal of faith, but in these critical moments, I think people recognise the importance of it.
The secular media has reported a lot on the darker details of the story, the family's grieving and how the two will spend their last hours. But I'm interested in what Christian leaders see as the story of hope in the midst of this, the gospel story in the middle of this.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways it's hard to see hope in it. It's a very grim situation. It's a truly horrible situation. I wouldn't want to deny that. But there is also true hope in this, in a very important sense. So especially Andrew Chan, Myron Sukumaran, I believe may also have had some sort of conversion in this, but I don't know that for sure. I know that Andrew Chan is very publicly a Christian, and he's spoken about you know, the peace that he's felt, the hope that this has given him. And I remember hearing Jeff Hammond, who had also a spiritual counsellor to Andrew Chan, and he, after visiting Andrew for the last time, told Fran Kelly on Radio National that Andrew had a peace in his heart, that whether he lives or dies, he hopes that the fruit that he's been able to produce will continue to be a blessing to other people. And so there's both the sense that the change that he's been able to bring to his own life has been a blessing to others and could even continue to be that for them after his death. But also, of course, he carries with him the hopes of many others who've gone in similar ways to this, who believe that they're, even though they're losing their life in one sense, they're going home or being given a new life. They're being ushered into life. I remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who of course was executed by the Nazis when he was 39 years old, similarly a young man engaged to be married, and he said as he was led off to the gallows that this is the end, but for me it's the beginning of life. And I do think that these guys, and especially Andrew Chan, has this sense that he doesn't want to die. He hopes that he'll be given a reprieve. But if he goes to his death, he feels like because of his relationship with Jesus that he's going to be ushered into a new life. That's the best amount of hope you can see in something like this. And it's enormous. It's a big hope. But that's not to lessen the fact that for everyone else, it's a great tragedy as they lose someone that they love very much.
For sure. If you were talking to a Christian, someone who doesn't have a faith in God, what would you say to them about how faith out of this story helps one in the darkest of times?
Well, there's no doubt that it does. People of faith across the centuries have attested to this over and over again. I'd want to say, I guess, that if this story that Andrew Chan has wedded himself, the story of the gospel of Jesus, if it isn't true, then it's also true that his hope is false and the whole thing looks like a meaningless mess. But of course, if there is some truth to it, if it is true, then it does offer a window into an enormous possibility. And so it's of course worth considering. And I think these sort of critical times in our lives are worth measuring these things and looking carefully at them again and weighing up whether you think there is actually hope in this story. I know that these guys are faced with a very, very critical moment, and there's no doubt that they'll be looking to God for hope in this circumstance, as many people do, and many people do find they get a strange, mysterious but profound peace at these times. And I guess, you know, I hope that that's what they're experiencing now.
And would you want for Christians to be praying for that, for these two?
Absolutely. They should and will and have been, and I'm sure they'll continue to. Praying for them, praying for the people who love them, and praying for a reprieve. Who knows? I hope perhaps we can talk tomorrow that something happened that got them off. But definitely, the prayers for those guys. Those of us who are believers think that the Spirit of God can be powerfully present for them, even in that darkest of times. And so, yeah, that would be my prayer for them for sure.
Simon Smart, thanks for your time.
Great to talk to you, Claire.